from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk on 670 The Score.
I'm grateful. I'm excited. I'm here to work. I'm here to win games with the Chicago Bears and win games for the Chicago Bears. And I've just been in here working, growing the bond and trust and belief between the coaches and my teammates, offense, defense, special teams. It doesn't matter. We're all one. And we're heading on the right trend, I would say. But we got to keep going and keep growing.
I'll do it. We're back from Circa on The Score here in Las Vegas. We're here for the ultimate contest weekend.
I was getting lost in the Sean Paul.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, okay. You guys can jam out.
Chilling.
I just was chilling, and then I saw Ray. So as we mentioned before, Circa Million, Circa Survivor, that is why we're here. Mike Palm was just on. He's one of our experts. And now we get to join another expert on the show. I'm really happy to hear from Nate Tice. Congratulations on all your big moves, Nate.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, one move. Get under one house. You know, it's been great, though. Thank you. I actually thought the feed that I saw right now was just the back room. So I just been sitting here, and then, like, all of a sudden I saw you reach forward and touch something and started talking. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, this is the studio. Great set you guys got.
Yeah, we're in a cabana at Stadium Swim, and it's been terrific.
It's been really tough. We need
the
help.
The weather's not
like,
bad now. You guys
no,
got here. When it was in hell heat, so, like, congrats.
Yeah, it's 95 for the high. I'm pretty excited.
Nate Tice is on Twitter at @Nate_Tice, Yahoo Sports staff writer, host of the Football 301 podcast, is with us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. If all anybody wants to talk about is the story, and maybe one of the biggest stories we've had in recent Bears history. So we're trying to figure out, how soon could Caleb Williams be good? How soon could he be great?
That's really it. Is it good or great? This is like a Stephen Colbert question. It's like, is this America or America-er? I'm pretty... I think he has the tools, and he has more polish, and we've seen this in the preseason, even with the crazy, you know, cool out of structure plays. He's a lot more polished than people have realized and a lot more advanced mentally. And I think that's what is going to let him be at the very least average starter as a rookie quarterback, which is all you hope for out of a rookie quarterback, because it's really hard. I think there's going to be moments of brilliance, but it's a rookie quarterback. So there's going to be some rough stretches because he's going to try some stuff. You know, he's working on the fumble stuff, and I could see his mechanics and his fundamentals like already improved. But there's going to be ups and downs. I think you're going to see the moments of good this year, even if it's maybe not all the way consistent every week, every game, every series that you see every quarter. It would look a lot, I think, like Kyler Murray's rookie year, which was, you know, good. And like, you're like, okay, this is a guy we could work with. I think Caleb's a better player, or can be a better player. I think the greatness is moments, and it happens more sustainably, like year two, year three, year four. It's really hard to expect anyone to be great. I mean, after Justin Herbert's rookie year, everyone was like, oh yeah, he's great, he's amazing. And now people are still arguing whether he's even good. So it's just all about sustainability, what we see year after year in, year out. I think Caleb can show that during his career, but there might be some stretches this year when he tries maybe a little too much, like every rookie quarterback does.
When you look at the other 21 starters for the Bears, do you think Caleb being average would be good enough for them to be competitive?
Great question, because yes. Because I think what's happening with the excitement with the Bears offense maybe this is me from a national scene, I think the defense has gotten somewhat under-talked about, underutilized, underrated. I think this defense could be a top five defense this year. And if that's the best case scenario for a rookie quarterback, because no matter what the offense is, you're going to get better situations. You might get the ball back. I think this defense is really good. And I feel like I'm going crazy because I keep saying it. And they have what I think 10 of their 11 base starters are above average or better starters, which not a lot of teams have. I would say 11 of their 12 top contributors, if you include Kyra Gordon in the slot, are solid or better starters. Now, there's not a lot of weaknesses in a defense that thrives on being zone and Titan. I've started calling it the Xena on a top defense after Goldeneye, where they just strangle the life out of you. And that's why I think we're going to see this year. I really, really am ecstatic about this defense. And and there's offensive improvement that I think this offense overall will end up being more average-ish. But that's good. That's huge improvement with a top five defense. That's a playoff contender. You know, I'm not saying contender, but a team that can fight for a playoff spot, because the NFC is wide open. But the NFC North is going to be a battle, a slog. But they have a fighting chance against everybody because their defense is so good. And their offense, I think, is going to be sustainable.
Yeah, I think you hit on something, too, when you talked about Caleb Williams trying things. I think that would be the most tempting aspect for me if I was somebody with skill and ability like that. Coming from, you know, the coaching background that you have and that you have a base with, if you're giving Caleb Williams advice on when to try stuff and when to play by the rules, what would be the advice that you give, especially for this early part of the upcoming season?
I'd be asking him. When did you try that? Oh, cool. Yeah, that's sweet. Because it's one of these, those who can do, those who can't teach. And that's why I'm a coach, or was a coach. And I always kind of, watching these guys, it is a balance. It's like you don't want to take away the aggression, because defenses want you to be passive. They want you to nickel dime. They want you to play like Derek Carr, or they want you to play just very safe. Because that's just how defenses want you to play. That's how the Bears defense wants you to play. So you don't want to take away aggression. You don't want to take away hunting for doubles and triples and home runs. So it is a balance that that's why I keep saying he will get caught. Like, he will try something, break out of pocket, get hit. He turns down throws sometimes that when he maybe had something open in the progression, you know, so there will be punishment because of that. It won't always be the breaking contain left and throwing like a wanted bullet to Roman Dunsay where the thing curves on you. So I think that it's really when he gets punished, okay, is this a bad habit or is this a one-off? Did you just get caught there and is this sustainable? That's up to the coaches to determine, because everyone's a sliding scale. Mahomes can do 14 crazy things because he gets away with 14 crazy things. If Kenny Pickett tries 14 crazy things, I'd be like, you get one. You get one crazy thing, buddy. Like, everybody has a threshold. Caleb gets more, I think, benefit of the doubt, even for a rookie, because he can accomplish some of those high-end things. So long-winded way to say it depends is my thing, but he will get punished. And I think that's when you have to rein him back a little bit.
Fair enough.
Nate, if you were designing an offense for him from scratch, and you know that he has so many different skills, he can put a ball on somebody from so many different arm angles and platforms and where, however his feet are set, how much boot waggle action would you use to get him going, to get him on the move, which may sometimes limit the field a little bit and give you a half-field, Andy Reid-leveled concept kind of thing, with also trusting him at times to just drop back, see everything, and fire him?
The perfect offense for me for Caleb, and maybe because this is a lack of creativity for my brain, is I mean this dead serious. It was not a joke when I even said this on Twitter, was that I really think there's a lot of comparisons between Caleb Williams and Drew Brees when he came out of Purdue. They play very similar. Drew Brees was not the nickel and dime efficiency monster we see him late in his career with a popcorn arm. He had a big arm. He was a good athlete. He could like break pockets. Like, he was a wild horse. Watch him in college at Purdue. So why I say that is, what was Drew Brees' best offense? A Sean Payton offense. And that's where I think he would be ideal, where he can do quick game, he can do five-step traditional dropbacks, because I think Caleb handles them really well. His dropback mechanics are as clean as you can get, and I think that's just been underrated with him, and also his progression in those plays. So that's where I would like to see him. Just let him go 1 to 2 to 3. Let him get these kind of nice full-field reads, because I think he can handle them. But another thing that Sean Payton does, always run the ball, always going to have a strong run game to help out your quarterback, be very hyper-efficient. But they have some boots with it. So to get to your point about the boots, I think it's not like a Shanahan thing where we see a boot and play action every other play. I think for Caleb, it's a once every other series thing. They've done it a little bit in this preseason. Screens are valid with him way more than they were with Justin Fields too, because he has such a quick motion, and because he just can change his arm angle. Justin Fields, and ironically enough, were so similar to Russell Wilson in that they can't throw a quick game. Russell because of his height, and Justin because of his long mechanics. Caleb has quicker mechanics, and so that menu becomes available to him. So that's what's kind of cool with Caleb. The entire menu is available to him because he can move, he can throw over the middle, he can push the ball down the field. So it's kind of hard to go, what's a perfect offense? So that's why, to me, it's Sean Payton, which is a greatest hits type of offense, and a offense that would make the most out of really any quarterback, even if I don't like him like Bo Nix.
Nate, if you were putting together kind of a rudimentary list of things that any Bears fan could do to watch Caleb throughout the season and say, yes, here's proof that he's getting better, what would be on that list of things for our Bears fans?
That's a really good question. I would say for me, it's that, is there that 3 seconds from the pocket? I don't know. I know not everyone could just go one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi. Does it feel like he's hanging in the pocket and throwing the ball? It's not hanging in the pocket and doing the fishhook stuff, you know, just looping around and kind of quasi Russell Wilson stuff. So I think that is where you're going to see the progression, that he's comfortable with the offensive line. So it's just chilling in the pocket, getting the ball, rid of the ball in the pocket. I think that's what you want to see. Not just right away, 1-2-3-4-5, 1-2-3 ball out, but more of the one Mississippi, two Mississippi, then he's throwing the ball with no play action, no bootlegs, straight dropbacks. If we see that consistently, we're good. We saw it in the first preseason game to DJ Moore when he hit the third down to him on the curl route. That, except every time. And that's what you want to see, is the calmness from the pocket, which he already flashes. That's just all of it.
If you saw us gesticulating wildly, it's because we also had a similar conversation with Sean King yesterday where he talked about that idea.
Mm-hmm.
But
I thought you guys were telling me to wrap it up. I thought I was getting the red light.
We were saying yes.
Because Sean King ruffled some feathers.
Saying what basically you said.
Yeah. It's the Roman Dunze throw where he breaks contain is the perfect example. That is great that he can play the play. This is what an elite quarterback has to do right now. You have to play from the pocket, but then when stuff breaks down, you have to make a play. The term I always come back to is go get a bucket. And that's what was great to see on that Roman Dunze play. That is Caleb. And then the red zone plays after. But on that play, it's a mesh concept, which is two crossers. I believe it was mesh. Two crossers, and a guy sits over. No, no, it wasn't. It was something else, but whatever. A guy sits over the ball. I think it's a tight end. It's this third read, and he has a decently clean NFL pocket. Ideally, he just gets that throw, 6-7 yard gain. We don't even have to worry about the variability that happens when you break contain. So that is like, that's, it's just like, that play was awesome. You see the high end stuff, but it's like the process can still just get a touch better. And that's a rookie quarterback, though. It's a rookie quarterback that played behind a horrid offensive line at USC. So his clock's going to be sped up a little bit. I would, too. I would be like, yeah, I'm good. I'm not hanging in this pocket. So I think that's just where it's the balance of that. You want to see the changing, the variability, the ad lib, the play. But, you know, just staying within the structure, which he can. Again, he can do this. It's not like he can't. It's just more often.
You were a keen studier of so many versions of Bears offenses. Like, we've talked at length with you about it, whether it was Matt Nagy, you know, his last year, or what we saw previously with Luke Getsy. What is your impression of Shane Waldron's interpretation of this version, not only him, but what he's doing right now with the tools you've seen? Limited sample, but I still want to get your early take.
I like that the varying of personnel. You know, okay, we'll go three wides, we'll two tight ends stuff. They have the personnel that can do a lot of, like Roman Dunze can block his butt off, which that helps unlock some stuff if you want to go like three wide receivers. So I think his use of personnel is always good. He's used more motion and used a little bit more, I wouldn't say creativity, because Shane Waldron has shown creativity, but just a little more stuff tied into their base stuff that just made sense to me. I always thought Shane Waldron was just like a good, like a B level at least offensive coordinator, where he runs some good staples of the NFL. You know, it's a copycat league, and he does a little creativity, but he's not the 11 out of 10 guy. You know, it's like he just does everything good. And I still kind of continue to see that. It looks a lot better because the Seahawks offensive line was woeful last year because they had so many injuries. And I know that, crazy, the Bears have a better offensive line than somebody, but they actually, I know, which also is kind of like, That's the house of cards, though. It's one injury. It's just yeah. That's the. I won't. Sorry, I spoke that into existence. But that is where it came and fell because of how Shane Waldron's aggressive. He's willing to push the ball. If you have an offensive line that can't hold up, if you have a run game that's shaky, that's a hard way to live. This is a little better ecosystem for how he wants to play. Like, they're going to run the ball a lot. You got to remember, he's a McVay guy. And so they're going to run that as their staple. But it's kind of cool to see some maybe more creative stuff with the passing game, even in preseason. That's what's encouraging.
Nate, I noticed the way you described the Bears' defense had to do with how many of the individual positions rank above average for what they do. And I know positional valuation in general and prioritization is an ever evolving goal of guys who put rosters together. How do you feel in general about the importance of the center position and the value over replacement level?
Huge. Center is the second most important line spot after one of your tackle spots. Now I think right tackle is just, I've looked at right and left tackle as like right-handed and left-handed pitchers. You prefer the lefty, but, you know, it's still great to have Roger Clemens. But this is, you know, it's a really good question because I think the center, and this is some of my dad's background because he was really big in this, is especially with how good defensive tackles are, how good defenses are at blitzing and manipulating protection plans. I think center is now easily one that's worth paying. So a short answer to this would be very valuable. Like, I think the Creed Humphrey contract is justified. If you get one of these guys, there's a kind of a dearth of centers right now, like good centers. There's average. There's a lot of average out there. But actual needle movers, like a guy like Frank Ragnow, Bears saw it firsthand when he wasn't on the field. They just had their way with that Lions defense, just blitzing and just manipulating everything because Ragnow couldn't get everyone set. Actually kind of speaks a little bit about Jared Goff, you know, like, come on, man, can't you help out? Like, you know, just because your center's down. So, like, I think centers are extremely valuable, and I've always thought that. But now I think I have even more arrows in the quiver for the argument because of what defenses are doing and how good defensive tackles are. I mean, there's a dozen elite-ish guys right now. There's teams with two really good ones. Bears have better defensive tackles than people have made them out to be, by the way. But I think that's because of that, centers are valuable too because they have to block those guys and they have to get everybody else straight against these crazy blitzing defensive coordinators like Brian Flores. Like, just look at your division. Steve Spagnuolo. I mean, all these guys are bringing some wacky stuff, so you need a center to get everyone right.
Nate, I always appreciate that, and just your viewpoint of the overall NFL. You touched on it earlier, but this is a much better NFC North than what we saw last year.
It is. I hate to say it, but I'm pretty high on the Packers this year, too. The Vikings are not, like, an easy out, and the Lions improved their defense, which they needed. It's a fun division. I'm like really excited to watch NFC North as a neutral fan, but I'm still optimistic. Having said that, with the Bears, just to be a playoff team because they have such a more complete team. Everyone's excited about the offense, but that defense is, and the freaking punter. We haven't talked about the punter.
Yeah,
like that with this defense. Now imagine just pinning them. This is like we're back into 2005, but now we got an offense to maybe match it a little bit.
Nate, you're the man. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for being on the show, and we look forward to talking with you. And congratulations on the new gig, man.
Thank you guys for having me. Always a blast.
That Yay. Is Nate Tice. Cool stuff.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk on 670 The Score.
Yeah, I'm grateful. I'm excited. I'm here to work. I'm here to win games with the Chicago Bears and win games for the Chicago Bears. And I've just been in here working, growing the bond and trust and belief between the coaches and my teammates, offense, defense, special teams. It doesn't matter. We're all one. And we're heading on the right trend, I would say. But we got to keep going and keep growing.
I'll do it. We're back from Circa on the Score here in Las Vegas. We're here for the ultimate contest weekend.
I was getting lost in the Sean Paul.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, okay. You guys can jam out.
Chilling.
I just was chilling, and then I saw Ray. So as we mentioned before, Circa Million, Circa Survivor, that is why we're here. Mike Palm was just on. He's one of our experts. And now we get to join another expert on the show. I'm really happy to hear from Nate Tice. Congratulations on all your big moves, Nate.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, one move. Get under one house. You know, it's been great, though. Thank you. I actually thought the feed that I saw right now was just the back room. So I've just been sitting here, and then, like, all of a sudden I saw you reach forward and touch something and started talking. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, this is the studio. Great set you guys got.
Yeah, we're in a cabana at Stadium Swim, and it's been terrific.
It's been really tough. We need
help. The weather's not bad now. You guys got here when it was in hell heat, so, like, congrats.
Yeah, it's 95 for the high. I'm pretty excited.
Nate Tice is on Twitter at @Nate_Tice, Yahoo Sports staff writer, host of the Football 301 podcast, is with us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. If all anybody wants to talk about is the story, and maybe one of the biggest stories we've had in recent Bears history. So we're trying to figure out, how soon could Caleb Williams be good? How soon could he be great?
That's really it? Is it good or great? This is like a Stephen Colbert question. It's like, is this America or America-er? I'm pretty... He has the tools and he has more polish, and we've seen this in the preseason, even with the crazy, you know, cool out of structure plays. He's a lot more polished than people have realized and a lot more advanced mentally. And I think that's what is going to let him be at the very least average starter as a rookie quarterback, which is all you hope for out of a rookie quarterback, because it's really hard. I think there's going to be moments of brilliance, but it's a rookie quarterback. So there's going to be some rough stretches because he's going to try some stuff. You know, he's working on the fumble stuff, and I could see his mechanics and his fundamentals, like, already improved. But there's going to be ups and downs. I think you're going to see the moments of good this year, even if it's maybe not all the way consistent every week, every game, every series that you see every quarter. It would look a lot, I think, like Kyler Murray's rookie year, which was, you know, good. And like, you're like, okay, this is a guy we could work with. I think Caleb's a better player, or can be a better player. I think the greatness is moments, and it happens more sustainably, like year two, year three, year four. It's really hard to expect anyone to be great. I mean, after Justin Herbert's rookie year, everyone was like, oh yeah, he's great, he's amazing. And now people are still arguing whether he's even good. So it's just all about sustainability, what we see year after year in, year out. And I think Caleb can show that during his career, but there might be some stretches this year when he tries maybe a little too much, like every rookie quarterback does.
When you look at the other 21 starters for the Bears, do you think Caleb being average would be good enough for them to be competitive?
Great question, because yes. Because I think what's happening with the excitement with the Bears offense, maybe this is me from a national scene, I think the defense has gotten somewhat under-talked about, underutilized, underrated. I think this defense could be a top-5 defense this year. And if that's the best case scenario for a rookie quarterback, because no matter what the offense is, you're going to get better situations, you might get the ball back. I think this defense is really good, and I feel like I'm going crazy because I keep saying it, and they have what I think 10 of their 11 base starters are above average or better starters, which not a lot of teams have. I would say 11 of their 12 top contributors, if you include Kyra Gordon in the slot, are solid or better starters. Now, there's not a lot of weaknesses in a defense that thrives on being zone and Titan. I've started calling it the Xena on a top defense after Goldeneye, where they just strangle the life out of you. And that's what I think we're going to see this year. I really, really am ecstatic about this defense. And and there's offensive improvement that I think this offense overall will end up being more average-ish. But that's good. That's huge improvement with a top-5 defense. That's a playoff contender. You know, I'm not saying contender, but a team that can fight for a playoff spot, because the NFC is wide open. But the NFC North is going to be a battle, a slog. But they have a fighting chance against everybody because their defense is so good. And their offense, I think, is going to be sustainable.
Yeah, I think you hit on something, too, when you talked about Cale Williams trying things. I think that would be the most tempting aspect for me if I was somebody with skill and ability like that. Coming from, you know, the coaching background that you have and that you have a base with, if you're giving Caleb Williams advice on when to try stuff and when to play by the rules, what would be the advice that you give, especially for this early part of the upcoming season?
I'd be asking him. Hey, when did you try that? Oh, cool. Yeah, that's sweet. Because it's one of these, those who can do, those who can't teach. And that's why I'm a coach. Or was a coach. And I always kind of watching these guys, it is a balance. It's like you don't want to take away the aggression because defenses want you to be passive. They want you to nickel dime. They want you to play like Derek Carr, or they want you to play just very safe because that's just how defenses want you to play. That's how the Bears defense wants you to play. So you don't want to take away aggression. You don't want to take away hunting for doubles and triples and home runs. So it is a balance that that's why I keep saying he will get caught. Like he will try something, break out pocket, get hit. He turns down throws sometimes that when he maybe had something open in the progression, you know, so there will be punishment because of that. It won't always be the breaking contain left and throwing like a wanted bullet to Roman Dunsay where the thing curves on you. So I think that it's really when he gets punished, okay, is this a bad habit or is this a one-off? Did you just get caught there and is this sustainable? That's up to the coaches to determine because everyone's a sliding scale. Mahomes can do 14 crazy things because he gets away with 14 crazy things. If Kenny Pickett tries 14 crazy things, I'd be like, you get one. You get one crazy thing, buddy. Like everybody has a threshold. Caleb gets more, I think, benefit of the doubt, even for a rookie because he can accomplish some of those high-end things. So long-winded way to say it depends is my thing, but he will get punished. And I think that's when you have to rein him back a little bit.
Fair enough.
Nate, if you were designing an offense for him from scratch and you know that he has so many different skills, he can put a ball on somebody from so many different arm angles and platforms and where, however his feet are set, how much boot waggle action would you use to get him going, to get him on the move, which may sometimes limit the field a little bit and give you a half field Andy Reid leveled concept kind of thing, with also trusting him at times to just drop back, see everything, and fire him?
The perfect offense for me for Caleb, and maybe because this is a lack of creativity for my brain, is I mean this dead serious. It was not a joke when I even said this on Twitter, was that I really think there's a lot of comparisons between Caleb Williams and Drew Brees when he came out of Purdue. They play very similar. Drew Brees was not the nickel and dime efficiency monster we see him late in his career with a popcorn arm. He had a big arm. He was a good athlete. He could like break pockets. Like he was a wild horse. Watch him in college at Purdue. So why I say that is, what was Drew Brees' best offense? A Sean Payton offense. And that's where I think he would be ideal, where he can do quick game, he could do five-step traditional dropbacks, because I think Caleb handles them really well. His dropback mechanics are as clean as you can get, and I think that's just been underrated with him, and also his progression in those plays. So that's where I would like to see him. Just let him go 1 to 2 to 3. Let him get these kind of nice full-field reads, because I think he can handle them. But another thing that Sean Payton does, always run the ball, always going to have a strong run game to help out your quarterback, be very hyper-efficient. But they have some boots with it. So to get to your point about the boots, I think it's not like a Shanahan thing where we see a boot and play action every other play. I think for Caleb, it's a once every other series thing. They've done it a little bit in this preseason. Screens are valid with him way more than they were with Justin Fields too, because he has such a quick motion, and because he can change his arm angle. Justin Fields, and ironically enough, were so similar to Russell Wilson. And that they can't throw a quick game. Russell, because of his height, and Justin, because of his long mechanics. Caleb has quicker mechanics, and so that menu becomes available to him. So that's what's kind of cool with Caleb. The entire menu is available to him because he can move, he can throw over the middle, he can push the ball down the field. So it's kind of hard to go, what's a perfect offense? So that's why, to me, it's Sean Payton, which is a greatest hits type of offense, and a offense that would make the most out of really any quarterback, even if I don't like him like Bo Nix.
Nate, if you were putting together kind of a rudimentary list of things that any Bears fan could do to watch Caleb throughout the season and say, yes, here's proof that he's getting better, what would be on that list of things for our Bears fans?
That's a really good question. I would say for me, it's that, is that third, is there that 3 seconds from the pocket? I don't know. I know not everyone could just go one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi. Does it feel like he's hanging in the pocket and throwing the ball? It's not hanging in the pocket and doing the fishhook stuff, you know, just looping around and kind of quasi Russell Wilson stuff. So I think that is where you're going to see the progression, that he's comfortable with the offensive line. So it's just chilling in the pocket, getting the ball, rid of the ball in the pocket. I think that's what you want to see. Not just right away, 1-2-3-4-5, 1-2-3 ball out, but more of the one Mississippi, two Mississippi, then he's throwing the ball with no play action, no bootlegs, straight dropbacks. If we see that consistently, we're good. We saw it in the first preseason game to DJ Moore when he hit the third down to him on the curl route. That, except every time. And that's what you want to see, is the calmness from the pocket, which he already flashes. That's just all of it.
If you saw us gesticulating wildly, it's because we also had a similar conversation with Sean King yesterday where he talked about that idea.
Mm-hmm.
But
I thought you guys were telling me to wrap it up. I thought I was getting the red light.
No. We were saying this is going to be a common theme.
Because Sean King ruffled some feathers.
Saying what basically you said.
Yeah. It's the Roman Dunze throw where he breaks contain is the perfect example. That is great that he can play the play. This is what an elite quarterback has to do right now. You have to play from the pocket, but then when stuff breaks down, you have to make a play. The term I always come back to is go get a bucket. And that's what was great to see on that Roman Dunze play. That is Caleb. And then the red zone plays after. But on that play, it's a mesh concept, which is two crossers. I believe it was mesh. Two crossers, and a guy sits over. No, it wasn't. It was something else, but whatever. A guy sits over the ball. I think it's a tight end. It's this third read, and he has a decently clean NFL pocket. Ideally, he just gets that throw, 6-7 yard gain. We don't even have to worry about the variability that happens when you break contain. So that is like, that's, it's just like, that play was awesome. You see the high end stuff, but it's like the process could still just get a touch better. And that's a rookie quarterback, though. It's a rookie quarterback that played behind a horrid offensive line at USC. So his clock's going to be sped up a little bit. I would, too. I would be like, yeah, I'm good. I'm not hanging in this pocket. So I think that's just where it's the balance of that. You want to see the changing, the variability, the ad lib, the play, but, you know, just staying within the structure, which he can. Again, he can do this. It's not like he can't. It's just more often.
You were a keen studier of so many versions of Bears offenses. Like, we've talked at length with you about it, whether it was Matt Nagy, you know, his last year, or what we saw previously with Luke Getsy. What is your impression of Shane Waldron's interpretation of this version, not only him, but what he's doing right now with the tools you've seen? Limited sample, but I still want to get your early take.
I like that the varying of personnel. You know, okay, we'll go three wides, we'll two tight ends stuff. They have the personnel that can do a lot of, like Roman Dunze, that can block his butt off, which that helps unlock some stuff if you want to go like three wide receivers. So I think his use of personnel is always good. He's used more motion and used a little bit more, I wouldn't say creativity, because Shane Waldron has shown creativity, but just a little more stuff tied into their base stuff that just made sense to me. I always thought Shane Waldron was just like a good, like a B level at least offensive coordinator, where he runs some good staples of the NFL. You know, it's a copycat league, and he does a little creativity, but he's not the 11 out of 10 guy. You know, it's like he just does everything good. And I still kind of continue to see that. It looks a lot better because the Seahawks offensive line was woeful last year because they had so many injuries. And I know that, crazy, the Bears have a better offensive line than somebody, but they actually, I know, which also is kind of like, that's the house of cards, though. It's one injury. It's just yeah. That's the. I spoke that into existence. But that is where it came and fell because of how Shane Waldron's aggressive. He's willing to push the ball. If you have an offensive line that can't hold up, if you have a run game that's shaky, that's a hard way to live. This is a little better ecosystem for how he wants to play. Like, they're going to run the ball a lot. You got to remember, he's a McVay guy. And so they're going to run that as their staple, but it's kind of cool to see some maybe more creative stuff with the passing game, even in preseason. That's what's encouraging.
Nate, I noticed the way you described the Bears' defense had to do with how many of the individual positions rank above average for what they do. And I know positional valuation in general and prioritization is an ever-evolving goal of guys who put rosters together. How do you feel in general about the importance of the center position and the value over replacement level?
Huge. Center is the second most important line spot after one of your tackle spots. Now I think right tackle is just, I've looked at right and left tackle as like right-handed and left-handed pitchers. You prefer the lefty, but you know, still great to have Roger Clemens. But this is, you know, it's a really good question because I think the center, and this is some of my dad's background because he was really big in this, is especially with how good defensive tackles are, how good defenses are at blitzing and manipulating protection plans. I think center is now easily one that's worth paying. So a short answer to this would be very valuable. Like, I think the Creed Humphrey contract is justified. If you get one of these guys, there's a kind of a dearth of centers right now, like good centers. There's average. There's a lot of average out there. But actual needle movers, like a guy like Frank Ragnow, Bears saw it firsthand when he wasn't on the field. They just had their way with that Lions defense, just blitzing and just manipulating everything because Ragnow couldn't get everyone set. Actually kind of speaks a little bit about Jared Goff, you know, like, come on, man, can't you help out? Like, you know, just because your center's down. So, like, I think centers are extremely valuable, and I've always thought that. But now I think I have even more arrows in the quiver for the argument because of what defenses are doing and how good defensive tackles are. I mean, there's a dozen elite-ish guys right now. There's teams with two really good ones. Bears have better defensive tackles than people have made them out to be, by the way. But I think that's because of that, centers are valuable too, because they have to block those guys and they have to get everybody else straight against these crazy blitzing defensive coordinators like Brian Flores. Like, just look at your division. Steve Spagnuolo. I mean, all these guys are bringing some wacky stuff, so you need a center to get everyone right.
Nate, I always appreciate that, and just your viewpoint of the overall NFL. You touched on it earlier, but this is a much better NFC North than what we saw last year.
It is. I hate to say it, but I'm pretty high on the Packers this year, too. The Vikings are not like an easy out, and the Lions improved their defense, which they needed. It's a fun division. I'm like really excited to watch NFC North as a neutral fan, but I'm still optimistic. Having said that, with the Bears, like just to be a playoff team because they have such a more complete team. Everyone's excited about the offense, but that defense is, and the freaking punter. We haven't talked about the punter.
Yeah,
like that with this defense. Now imagine just pinning them. This is like we're back into 2005, but now we got an offense to maybe match it a little bit.
Nate, you're the man. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for being on the show, and we look forward to talking with you. And congratulations on the new gig, man.
Thank you guys for having me. Always a blast.
That Yay. Is Nate Tice. Cool stuff.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.